Welcome to today's Strategic Conversations conference call. We have the recorder on, so we've muted the line in order to make these audio files as clear as possible. And within 24 hours of your listening, the audio file itself will be located in the community area of www.centerforcoaching.com for your re-listening. And I'll go over that later in the call. My name is Wayne Messick, and I'm the publisher of ibizresources.com. And today I'm interviewing Henry Barbet, founder of the Center for Coaching, and the co-creator of the Strategic Conversations process. Henry is a trained business coach with more than 20 years' experience in business development, marketing, and communication. He holds two advanced degrees from Columbia University and is an adjunct professor at New York University's School of Continuing and Professional Studies. Henry's passionate about behavioral analysis and helping individuals improve their personal and interpersonal effectiveness, something that motivated him to create the Strategic Conversations process. Henry is also an experienced public speaker and workshop leader who has provided services to organizations such as Cranes Communications, Accordia Insurance, Sheraton Hotels, Con Edison, the Association of the Bar of the City of New York, Pace University, and Pace Law School. And he is also a past president of the New York City chapter of the International Coach Federation. Today, Henry and I, we're going to be discussing the Strategic Conversations group process. What's it all about? What's in it for you? What's in it for your organization to begin and to participate in one? So without further ado, I'd like to say welcome, Henry.
Hi, Wayne. I am delighted to be with you here this afternoon, and I am so excited to be talking about Strategic Conversations, specifically the Strategic Conversations group process, which is our focus of discussion for today. And I just kind of want to say at the beginning that it's my hope that by the end of the call today, our listeners will have a clear understanding of what the Strategic Conversations group process is, what the applications for it are, what the benefits of being involved with the Strategic Conversations group are, and also how groups get started. So I am very excited, Wayne, and ready to go with this topic with you today.
Well, great. Let's start at the top then. Let's start with, what's in it for me? What are the benefits of a Strategic Conversations group?
Well, it's interesting. I think, when we talk with business leaders, it seems one of the most challenging things for leaders today are making decisions with confidence. We're living in a time where the stakes are high. And I guess the stakes have always been high for business leaders, but they're particularly high today with the level of competition in almost any industry. And, making big decisions, crucial decisions now, seems more perilous than it has, 20, 25 years ago. So the idea of these groups, one of the big benefits is to eliminate isolation. A lot of business leaders, whether they're the company president, CEO, or a division manager, can feel a sense of isolation. People are busy, their coworkers, their colleagues may all have busy schedules, and there's that sense of, feeling alone on their own with business challenges. And being part of a group, a Strategic Conversations group, and we're going to get into that as we go forward, but one of the benefits is to eliminate isolation. You feel like you're tied in with a brain trust, if you will, where you can share ideas and challenges and get fresh perspectives. And that leads into another benefit, which is new perspectives. You know, a very wise man I know once made a comment to me. He said, it's not what you don't know that will cause you to fail. It's what you know for sure that turns out to be wrong.
Wow.
And that is a very, very true statement. We all, you know, can be in our own little worlds thinking that, you know, we've got all the answers. And that can be a blessing, and it also can be a curse, because sometimes we may have it wrong. And the benefit of being part of a strategic conversations group is that we can share or, you know, inform our group members about a particular situation, business challenge that we're involved with, share our thinking on it, and get perspectives, feedback from the other group members. So the different perspectives can burst a bubble that needs to be burst at times, or it can validate us in our thinking. So that's another tremendous benefit, is the different perspectives, the feedback, the competitive intelligence, if you will, that other people can bring to these group discussions. Another piece that we find is a tremendous benefit is both a vertical and a horizontal mentoring, that takes place as a result of being part of these groups. Undoubtedly, there are going to be people with different levels of experience, different backgrounds, that can provide, again, new perspectives or guidance on a particular issue. And then finally, just the range of creative thinking and ideas that can take place on these calls that add to the benefit of group members being a part of this. I always love the word synergy, Wayne, you know, where the total is greater than the sum of the parts. And that is what, you know, we have seen takes place with these group calls, is that the synergy of the group adds up to more than just the five or the eight people that are part of this group. That dynamic of synergy takes place, and it's you don't know where it's going to lead. It just is a tremendous creative force in and of itself.
Well, I've got just something that occurred to me. It wasn't on my list, but something that kind of occurred to me. What's the when you talk about synergy and you talk about new perspectives? Where does the, and of course we have these business people, whomever they might be, that are involved in the group. Where does the facilitator, where do you fit into this in terms of helping them to perhaps develop that synergy or to moderate that discussion, or how do you add benefits to this process?
Well, we are there to guide the group in, you know, when the group needs guiding. Once members of these groups understand the group process, and there is a specific structure, we have an agenda, and we go through individual by individual, focusing on their individual business issues and challenges. So there is a structure that the group has, which can be modified if in a given situation the group members want to modify it or alter it.
Okay,
well, as facilitators, we're there in the event that there needs to be a facilitation to keep the call moving forward. We're there to do that.
Because otherwise it might just kind of, come to a halt without someone to keep the process moving. That makes sense. Let me ask you this. My next question really has to do I don't know if this is mechanics or what, but how do these groups get started, or by who? I mean, do I just pick out two or three of my friends, or you know, how does it one get started? And a corollary to that is, okay, so how does one get started that is going to have long lasting benefits to all involved? I mean, how are those decisions made?
Well, we have developed a unique way of putting these groups together. We call it a peer selection process. And what that means is, you know, an individual that has an interest in forming a strategic conversations group would speak with us, and we would guide them into making decisions regarding who they would like to be part of the group. That's what the peer selection process is. An individual selecting themselves people that they would feel would be beneficial for them based on what their goals are to have in a an ongoing group format. And it could be, you know, based, again, as I said, it's based on what their goals are. If they're in a particular industry, it may behoove them to have other non-directly competitive people from the same industry in their group, maybe in different geographic locations, where they could, you know, discuss and, you know, focus on common challenges to them in their given industry. It could be, you know, individuals in a particular company. So it just depends on what an individual's goals are. And then, of course, we would want them, you know, as they're selecting people that would benefit them, that it's a win-win for the people that join the group also, that those people are getting benefits as well. So we would essentially work with people to put these groups together.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of where I was going with my next question, kind of a follow-on. If someone has contacted you and you've had, you know, kind of a brainstorming session and they've come up with a list of a dozen or so people that fit into the kind of their criteria, what they're looking for and what you guys have felt would be a good mix. But I mean, I know if that were me, I might feel hesitant I might feel hesitant on two accounts. One, if I contacted all 12 people, and if all 12 people was said sure, but we really couldn't have all 12 people because that would make the group too big, or if they turned me down, or if I chose the wrong person because I liked them and not because of what they would bring to the group. I mean, what do you do? How do you people help in that quantifying, selection, creation process?
Well, that's a very good question, and then that's one many people, you know, will ask. What we actually do is once the list is generated, well, first off, as the list is being generated, we provide an objective perspective to help the person decide who are going to be the best choices for the group, for them. Okay, so we provide an objective coaching process to help them come to those conclusions. Then once a list has been generated of individuals, potential candidates, we will then take the initiative to contact the individuals. And this is beneficial because as a kind of a third party objective entity, you know, we can speak with these individuals, you know, mention that, you know, they were, you know, a particular person has asked us to contact them, that they have been invited to join this particular group. We would tell them about the group process and what the benefits are and get them excited about the idea. And then from there, if they were excited, we would then encourage them to have a conversation with the individual who had suggested them in the beginning, to again move the idea forward, so that it then takes on a truly group process at that point of them to then having, say, a couple of people talking together about creating this group and forming it.
I see.
And again, we were there to support in whatever way we can to get the group up and running.
Well, you know, if you're there doing, to do this, and of course they're brainstorming, and it seems like a lot of people have invested a lot of themselves in the decision. So then that kind of leads me to my next question. So now everyone has kind of gotten this thing going. How long does anyone expect it to last? This seems like a lot of a lot of investment of energy to create something that could be significant. How long do these things go on?
Yeah, and that also is a very common question, because as people are considering whether they'll join such a group, there is that very real consideration of time commitment. What commitment do I have to make? We initially ask for a 3-month commitment of people in joining this type of a strategic conversations group, because we feel it takes at least that amount of time for relationships and trust to be built and to develop a momentum with the group. So we ask for at least a 3-month commitment for individuals to try on this process.
So you mean when you say 3 months, you mean like, and for example, the group meets twice a month, so that would be half a dozen meetings to kind of get a sense of how it's working.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. Now, in terms of how long they run, it depends on the group itself. Undoubtedly, there are going to be life circumstances that cause people to need to drop out of the groups for one reason or another. We've also seen groups that go on for years because the members are getting such value from it. So it depends on the particular group, but the short answer is it could be unlimited. You know, if all the members are interested in continuing this, you know, based on the value they're getting from it. Now, I want to just, you know, talk a little bit about what happens if a particular member or members leave a group. Let's say after 3 months, you know, we've got, you originally had, say, 6 people in a group. And after 3 months, 2 people, for various reasons, need to leave the group. What does the group do? Well, at that point, we would, as the facilitators, we would work with the group to find out, do they want to replace those 2 people and get the number back up to 6? Or would they like to continue on with 4? And then that would be a group decision that the group would make. And if they did decide they wanted to have the original 6 member, because they liked having those, you know, 6 different perspectives versus 4, then we would work with them on going through a selection process to come up with a few other candidates that we would then invite into the group.
Interesting. Well, let me just ask you this. Now, let's say, for instance, that you or one of your team is facilitating just such a group, and it goes on for say 6 or 8 or 9 months or whatever, and at that point the members of the group feel, okay, we've got it, we understand the importance of the group, we want to continue the group, but we think we can do it just on our own without having a professional facilitator. Does that work? I mean, is that a viable part of the deal or what?
Absolutely. You know, we are there to encourage and support the group to operate effectively. But you're right, there will come a time where the group will feel confident enough to say, you know, I think we can do this on our own. And then we bid them farewell, so to speak, and wish them well on their journey without us. And we kind of like that because, you know, I think all of us kind of share this desire for independence at some point, and I think that is a natural process, that once a group, you know, has this process down, that they continue on their own, so we send them forward with our blessings at that point. And, you know, again, if at a lot of point down the road, they decide, you know, we want to tighten up this group, and we want to have more active facilitation, then we're available to come back and to support them in that capacity.
Gotcha. Well, now, one of the things that occurred to me, I wanted to ask about some specific applications. And as you were talking about this, the one thing I just thought about, a group of business owners who are part of like a trade association, for example, who meet, you know, once a year for the trade association meeting, you know, and then maybe in the summer for the golf outing or whatever, a formal strategic conversations group would be an ideal way, I mean, it seems to me, to bridge those occasional and intermittent conversations and turn it into a real continuous stream of, as you said, mentoring and learning and so forth. Are there other specific applications that you can tell us about?
Yes, absolutely. And that was a very good example, Wayne, of people in the same industry that may be in different geographic locations who have the pleasure to meet periodically at trade events, but there's a long gap between those events where they could be benefiting by having continuous dialogue with each other. Some other applications could be dealers. They could be, you know, dealers in the same industry, automobile industry, or the, you know, housewares industry, and they're in different geographic locations. They share, you know, similar challenges or business issues, and the ability to speak periodically, regularly by teleconference, that conference call is a tremendous benefit. So people who are dealers, people who are factory reps, people in sales, it could be business owners that are not in the same industry but just would like to be able to communicate regularly with other business owners just to talk about, you know, challenges of being a business owner and the issues involved. So it has wide application. It could be in a particular company, a large national company that has different locations. It could be people in competitive companies in different locations. So the applications and the benefits are wide-ranging, and that's why we're so excited about this idea.
Well, yeah, I thought of another thing while you were talking, and in the line of, when you read in the Wall Street Journal, you know, about competitive intelligence, it's like CEOs discussing, you know, what's going on. But probably in the real world, competitive intelligence is also when production supervisors in the plant talk to other production supervisors in their industry about how they overcome, you know, the very real practical problems that occur every day, because I think it's a truism that, as someone once told me, that some mistakes the business can absorb, other mistakes absorb the business, and issues at the practical working end of things. Because this is on the phone, it would seem to me that this would be a very cost-effective way of extending, you know, all kinds of leadership and training and a lot of different things. That's very interesting. It's kind of like kind of like the mortar, really, that holds the whole process together is the process that you've created, and the and of course the facilitators themselves. Well, let me ask you this as kind of a final question, and that is, you know, how do people get started? You know, let's say that someone is at a trade association meeting, or they're listening to this, call, and they think, well, gee, this is a great idea. I'd like to know more about it. How does that work?
Yeah, it's just simply to contact us, and there are two ways they could call us directly, and I will give you. The phone number is on, I'll give it to you in a moment. It's also on our website, on some of the websites we've cited today. So they could call us directly, or they could email us, and we could then reach out to them and begin communicating. So it's really about just starting the conversation with us, and then we could find out what their goals are, you know, where the types of business they're in, what they're looking to achieve. And so it really begins with a dialogue with by people just contacting us.
And I assume that you have a process for this that you've that's kind of stood the test of time, and I also assume that this initial conversation, et cetera, is at no charge.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, there is no charge for the initial discussion about forming a group. And you're right, we do have a process that we share. It's actually on our website. It's the five keys to strategic conversations. So we educate and we empower individuals to get this process going, this group process going, and we give them all the resources that they will need and support. So it all begins with contacting us, so that we can't call them unless we know they're interested in us calling. So the phone number to call, for the benefit of the listeners, is area code 212-517-3628, or they could send an email to questions@strategicconversations.com, and we will, once we receive notice of someone communicating with us, we will get back to them very quickly, because we would love to see these groups get going.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you you taking the time today, and also being willing to do this on the audio, so that we'll be able to have it for the future. And again, for the listeners, be sure to visit the community pages at www.centerforcoaching.com. What you'll find there is you'll find the community section of the Center for Coaching. You'll find reports, and that's where the report is that Henry was talking about, the five keys to strategic conversations. You'll find audio interviews, of which this will be one of them here in a little while, as well as case studies and other free resources. Henry is, I know, very serious about helping you develop more effective communications. So he is continually adding information of value for each of us in that the community area of the center's website. And if you're listening to this audio, but you're not part of the Strategic Conversation Announcement List, which is what they use to make sure that everyone gets notified in advance, and you'd like to be, you'd like to know in advance about future conference calls and some upcoming interviews with thought leaders, well, you can join that discussion group on the page where the interview is posted. So go to that community area of the Center for Coaching website, and you'll see a great deal of valuable material there. And speaking of that, if you found this to be of value, I hope that you will tell your colleagues and friends about Strategic Conversations and strategicconversations.com, because this is a way that you will be, you can't, if you're like me, you can't tell people what Henry just told us. But you know a lot more now than you did when you started. Pardon me. But you can suggest to them that they listen to this audio and then they become part of the Strategic Conversations discussion group, because that will help to educate them so that as you move forward together and decide to either sponsor Strategic Conversations within your organization, or you want to get involved in one yourself, you'll know more about it. I guarantee you, if you tell your friends and your colleagues about this, I'm sure that they will thank you for it. Now, I think we're about out of time, so I'm going to sign off and say thank you, everyone, for listening, and of course, most of all, thank you, Henry, for taking the time to share your wisdom with us today.
Thank you very much, Wayne. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and I look forward to further conversations with any of our listeners on the Strategic Conversations Group process. Great. So thank you again.
All right, thanks. See you guys.